Can you tell me your name and how old you are?
Yeah. Michael Patkira, 19.
Mike, when did you go out whaling?
Pardon?
When did you first go out to whale camp?
You mean year-wise or...
How young were you when you first went to whale camp?
I don't know, but 8 years ago. Let's see. I don't know. I wasn't too old. I think I was 10 or 11. But they didn't let me go on boat. They just had me make coffee and tea, make water. Just a flunky.
When did you graduate?
72, May 72.
And when did you start being able to use the harpoons?
Not yet. I haven't been able to use a harpoon yet. That's for big men. I'm a short little fella. I'm only reserved for the gun.
What kind of gun is it that you can use?
It's a big 30 pound gun with about a 12 inch bomb that goes out of it and is rigged to go off after it goes off on the gun about 15 seconds later.
What's this gun made out of?
Brass.
Is it a pretty heavy gun?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's about 30 pounds, like I said. 35 pounds, 40 pounds.
How old were you before you were allowed to use the gun?
No guarantee, as long as you learn how to keep your cool and don't get nervous and try to shoot anywhere, you know. Like, there's a certain place to shoot, you know, a whale. And if you hit it in the wrong place and it won't die as quick, and you waste, you know, a bomb cost about $25 around here, and if you waste a shot, that's $25 down a pipe. So you gotta be pretty calm about it. And you know, I was pretty nervous. Wow, first time I've ever actually experienced one like that. I mean, the first experience of ever shooting a gun.
When did you go to the whale camp this year?
May 4, the evening of May 4 and the whole day of Saturday when we got our whale Saturday night about 9 o'clock. The gun I was going to shoot didn't go off. And
start a little further back now. When you were out at camp, what happened when you saw the whales?
Oh, well, wow, whales were just going up. We never even put up our tent and we were just getting ready. All we got ready was the boat and the guns and the harpoons, and made some hot coffee and off we went without even drinking a cup. And we stayed out there chasing after whales for about 3.5 hours before we finally gave in to go have some coffee, and got cold and we put up the tent, and one of the guys went straight to sleep. He hadn't slept for a long time. Had a little time, about Friday night, I guess. And we went right back out, and we weren't out there for 2 hours when more whales came up. And these whales that came up, about eight whales, one right after the other, were coming at us. And we caught up with the last one, and that was the one we caught. That was the one we shot at with a gun, but didn't go off. And my Uncle Harry, he put the harpoon in it, and he got it right where it's, you know, cutthroat. And it didn't take but 2 minutes for the whale to die. The moment from the time it put the harpoon in till the time it was still. And the whole float didn't even go out into the water because the whale was just dead.
What side of the whale did you approach? Did you come at the whale straight on when you saw the whale?
Straight on, yeah, right from the top. And it was the moment we were going to shoot at it was about 4 feet, 4 to 5 feet away from us, from the boat, straight down.
What were you doing when that whale was that close?
I had the gun on my shoulders, ready to shoot. But, wow, that was a real bummer to have the gun not go off. I'm looking forward to the next time, though. Boy, right after I come back from Anchorage, I'm going to a youth seminar, and I'm going straight to a whaling camp.
When you were out there, after the whale had been killed, how long did it take you to drag the whale into shore, into the sea ice,
well,
into the ice?
Depends on how far you are from the shore, from the ice. And if you're in about a mile out, about half an hour, and we travel at about, less than walking speed, you know. It must be like on your knees walking, that kind of speed. And we took a while and put the whale in and put the shackles on it and pull it up with manpower.
Did many people come out to help you pull the whale out of the ocean?
Oh, yeah. There was enough to pull it up in a half an hour. We pulled it up and, the moment, about 6 hours passed after we got the whale when we finally got it up. All that other time we were getting ready to pull it up, and from the time we started pulling it up, it took us about 45 minutes to pull up. And it wasn't too hard to pull up.
How big a whale was it, would you estimate?
This one was a small whale. It must have been a yearling or so, and it was a little heavy. It looks like a type that wants to run around all the time. It's a yearling. It's about a 25-foot whale, kind of gray, grayish black.
Did you get a part of the whale?
Pardon?
Did you get a part of the whale?
Oh, yeah. My dad owns the crew, so I don't worry about that. He gets to keep my share. I don't have a family yet, and I'm not even thinking about it yet, so I don't worry about my share. I just give it to Dad.
What part of the whale does your father keep?
Well, the first front half. And part of the meat is called Ordi in Eskimo, and that's the whalers, the people that got the whales part. And the master crew, the guy that owns the gun and the guy that supports the crew gets to keep that all and gets to feed most of the town with it. And it was pretty good. And the ice broke up while we were out there, and most of the whale, the shares of the boats was lost, but we had pretty much fair time. It was fun.
Did you get back safely? What'd you do? Did you put the boat on a sled or something?
Oh, yeah, the boat and everything, the whaling guns that were the most important got out even before the ice started coming in. We knew it was coming up, and we're trying to get the whale as quick as we can. And we took the whaling guns and the bombs up, which we considered most important. And we took them up, and, we lost a few things, but not very important. Well, the ice started breaking up when we were about three-quarters way finished with the whale. And we didn't lose too many things. Not very important. Just a few of our beddings, you know, and a few things here and there.
How far back did you bring your stuff? How far back from where the ice was breaking up did you bring back the boat and the tents and things?
Well, to the main ice, the ice that don't break up, the ice which is safe from the pressure ridges that break up. And it was about a mile and a half in towards town. And we brought them in pretty safe. And the last to go out was us people. Because we were trying to get the equipment saved and the whale meat in as much as we could. Some people would say, call us stupid for not valuing the human life. But I guess the men that were out there knew what they were doing. So,
how long has your uncle been whaling, do you know?
Oh, ever since he was a small kid. On my mom's side, it's his brother, and the whole family, that line has a history of whalers, and all the way back from my great 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 grandpa, he was a whaler, and he was known for a fantastic whaler. And his dad was another great whaler. He's learned from him. And my uncle learned from my grandpa. And I'm learning from my uncle. And I really enjoy every one of it, even though these laws and times are changing where they're trying to cut off our whaling. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure I'll get to be a whaler, and boy, I'm looking forward to it. The time where it's a lot of work though, and it's fun.
Can you tell me your name?
It's Bill Niaco.
Bill, where do you work here in Barrow?
I work for Federal Aviation Agency, administration, right?
What do you do for them?
Well, I'm an air traffic control specialist.
You mean you bring in the jet airplanes every day?
Every day, yeah.
I hear that you also go out whaling, too. How come you go out whaling at the same time as you have a job with the FAA?
Well, it's the way of life. I was born and raised there. We've done it for so long, you know. Meat, muktuk and everything, sort of delicacy.
When did you first go whaling? How old were you?
Oh, I was about 10, I guess. 10 years old. That's a long time ago. We used dog teams those days.
Did you take the boats out the same way in those days with the sleds?
Yeah, same way. Right now, take them out of snow machines and they're a lot faster and don't have to worry about feeding dogs.
Can you tell me when you first went out to whale camp this spring?
Yeah, we went out on April 15th.
What was the weather like on April 15th?
It was terrible. It was cold. That was about 10, 15 below when we set up the whale camp out there. And hardly any water. Or ice was coming in and out that time. And we didn't see any whales the first week. Second week, we saw a couple of whales. But during that time, ice was moving in and out. I was piling up. And
where did you have your camp set up? Was it off the point?
Yeah, off Point Barrow. This the first camp that we made, and we moved back over about 3-4 miles, I guess, out in front of the military airport.
How far offshore are you located?
I think we've averaged about at least 3.5-4 miles.
How long does it take to go from, say, the town, from Barrow all the way out there to the point and out across the ice?
Oh, it was taking me 15 minutes.
Yeah, no. It's a smooth ride, huh?
No, it's not smooth. It's really rough.
15 minutes?
Yeah.
That was half hour.
That's half hour with that 8-horse Ski-Doo. Oh. I had that Yamaha. It took me 15 minutes.
When you moved camp, when did you move camp? Was it in April sometime?
Huh?
Did you keep your camp in the same place all
the time? Oh, no. What I said was we were off Point Barrow and then gradually moved back towards town until we were right in front of the naval camp. And during that time, I was moving in and out. We had to make new trails just about every other day because that ice was piling up. Going out, piling up again, or moving in and out, you know.
Did the ice ever come close to you? Like, was it breaking up or nearby?
Oh, yeah. Normally, we leave just the last minute. Normally, it happens that way, I guess. That ice, when it's moving, it seems like it's real slow, but once you're on top of it, just fast. Just takes everything with it. See, ice about 6-8 feet thick starts piling up there. Boy, that's really a lot of pressure, you know.
Which way were the winds blowing at that time?
Oh, they were coming out of east, northeast, and hardly any current. And now that current's out there, and you got 15 knots out of the east, and that ice won't move out because of that current.
Where's the ice moving right now? It's about May 14th or 15th.
Oh, it's not moving much. We still got a heck of a current, and even though we've had winds out of east northeast, and it's not moving very much. Just opening day to day or hour to hour, or whatever, because that current is really strong coming out of the west, north northwest. People moving camps every few hours down there. Stay in there where there's some water, where there's ice not around. And normally the whales hit all these spots, just like little ponds or little lakes out in the ocean and surrounded by ice. That's where a lot of the whalers stay anyway. Where whales just come up for air.
When did you first see whales this year?
The first one I saw was about April 26th, 25th, somewhere there.
What was it doing?
Well, it was just passing through.
Spouting, or is it kind of on the top of the water?
It was going in and out of the ice where there's a few floating ice here and there, and they were just hitting those spots where ice was opening up, and you know, they were moving along pretty fast.
Have you seen many whales passing by since then?
Oh, yeah. Last week, where people got those first three whales, the ice was way out, and whales were really moving. I guess it was closed all the way down to Point Hope, and it opened up, and we were seeing 5-6 at a time, within an hour, half hour, or one or two every half hour also. And they were just steady, and you see one or two coming in and out, you know, just following the edge of the ice. And the whale's just constantly moving. People just waiting for the right one to come up to them. At the right time, I guess, to just actually kill the whale.
How many men are in the crew that you're in, Billy?
Oh, there's my dad, myself, Charlie, Ronald, Glenn, Jimmy, there's Forrest, couple, and Josh Rooker, the eight of us.
Does one guy do the cooking for you?
Well, we normally fix that when we have nothing to do. We're just watching for whales, you know. We sit around and play cards, and the losers normally end up doing the cooking or whatever happens to be. We play a lot of pinochle. Whoever loses in a card game, we normally sit, you know, either do the dishes, make water, hot coffee, whatever, and make the Eskimo donuts out there and cook whatever, you know. Depends on each card game.
That's great. How many guys are out there? Are there many crews that are out there that you can see?
Oh, yeah, we saw the area we were in. You could see about three quarters of the whale crews in barrel. And I think there were 26 to 27 whale crews this year.
Does every whale crew have a sponsor?
Oh, yeah, more or less like a captain on a ship. And some people go in partnerships.
What about your crew? Who's the captain of your crew?
My old man.
What's his name?
Nate Niakov.
Has he been a captain for a long time?
Yeah, quite a long time.
Did he start as a young man, or did he have to work his way up?
Well, he started as a... No. I don't know. I don't think you'd work yourself up to something like this, but It depends on who really wants it, you know. Depends on the old timers. I don't know. It depends on how much money you could afford, whatever, you know.
Is your father going to be whaling in the next couple days?
No. In fact, yesterday morning, this morning, they went geese hunting. My mom and dad.
So who takes over then?
I will. I'll be going out tomorrow.
What kind of things are you going to be taking out with you when you go out tomorrow?
Oh, just some canned goods, maybe last a few days, and then we've got some caribou meat and whatnot, whale meat and whatever, down at our boat. We normally leave our boat on the ice. I like yours there, and we'll just bring along a few little things, you know. And we just, you know, pick up the boat and set it up out in the ice.
Do you take the boat by hand and take it out there?
No. We run out there with a snow machine, tow the boat out on a sled with a snow machine out to the edge of the ice.
What about the tent that you set up right there also with the boat? What are you going to put on your floor?
Oh, that. Now we've got a quarter-inch plywood plus canvas. And we use caribou skins for matting on top of that.
Do you have any place outside to sit on?
Oh, yeah, we normally have the sled we tow the boat with. We normally set it up out there with a little windbreak and put caribou skins on top and use it for a seat, you know. Like a nice couch.
How are you going to work it so that you're whaling and working at the same time?
Oh, just normally have somebody around all the time. Well, depending on how many people are there, like there were eight of us. Oh, guys that go to bed early, you know. Normally, also the size of the tent depends on who sleeps, because normally you have just enough for about four or five guys sleeping at the same time in the tent. So the rest three or four guys who would normally stay out and watch for whales. But it's a 24-hour operation.
How long do you intend to stay out there each day?
Oh, the 24 hours. 24 hours a day. Most of us will be coming, like I work, I'd be coming back and in the mornings and go to work and go back out right after work.
Do you ever stop that?
How's that?
When do you stop? When does this whole thing stop then? When you get a whale, is that when you stop?
Normally. Or even after you get a whale, you rest up after a day or so. Normally a day. After you get your whale, then you go back out in the same routine again.
Do you think the lead's going to stay open for a while now that the wind's blowing?
I'm not sure, but it's been coming out of east-northeast with that current. It's been pushing it out quite a bit. So it all depends on whether we have a good wind or if the current is really strong. Sometimes you'd have you could have a 20-knot wind. The current would be so strong that you could see ice moving along against the wind. It's kind of weird, you know.